In this podcast, Scott Hancock talks about his career in public sector finance with the NHS. Scott graduated from Leeds University in 2003 with a BSc Honours in Mathematics. He joined the NHS Graduate Scheme in September 2003 and was appointed Group Finance Manager at the University Hospital in Birmingham in July 2005.
My name's Scott Hancock, I'm Group Finance Manager, which in English normally means I'm kind of a traditional management accountant sort of a role. I'm based at the University Hospital of Birmingham, which is Selly Oak Hospital and Queen Elizabeth Hospital, based over in Birmingham, if anybody knows it. I currently cover around 12 specialties, so I get to do the management accounts for things like medical admissions, general medicine, all sorts of very disgusting sort of procedures, and yes, you do get to see it all. Overall, the budget for those 12 specialties is around £35 million, covers about 750 members of staff. My typical day-to-day role would involve things like producing the management accounts, decision support, investment appraisal, all the typical standard things that if you read a management accounts textbook, you'll sort of see in there. We do everything from target costing to costing the actual costs and performances of individual specialties. We do performance management, and a lot of my role at the moment is through education. So all my budget holders and managers, I will try and spend time with and educate them on everything finance. Because you have to remember that in the kind of work that we're involved in, finance isn't one of the key things in the organisation. We're not delivering financial products. What we're delivering is people's health, people's lives. So what we have to do is maintain our focus on delivering improved patient care. On a typical day, not that there is one, I'll spend probably about half my time dealing with questions that come from budget holders and specific ad hoc queries. The other half of the time I might be spending doing sort of routine tasks. Some of those ad hoc duties will be project work. I think one of the presenters earlier was talking about the balance between your day-to-day work, your project work, and professional development, those sorts of things. It's the same with the NHS. Why did I choose NHS finance? Well, picture the scene. I'm sat at home. I just spent Christmas with my parents after being at uni for 3 years. And I have to say, talking to my parents is getting a bit boring by the end of the second week. So what do you do? Hide away in your room, go on the internet, start reading emails, checking out what the rest of it. So I ended up reading my emails, got an email from a popular recruitment website telling me that the NHS deadline was the next day. So I thought, I've got a few minutes. So that was my entire motivation for applying. Now, I'm sure my managers won't thank me for telling me that, but what I can say is my perceptions since that day of the NHS have completely changed. I could think of more reasons for not applying for the NHS than applying for it. And there are lots of things to do with the bad publicity the NHS gets, this massive negative image. We seem to have this cultural thing in the UK about slagging off our health service. It seems to be inbred in our upbringing that at every opportunity we have to insult our NHS. I'm not quite sure why that is. So, since that day, I've learned that the NHS is a valued organisation. It's kind of fundamental to everybody in here, and being part of that is actually now quite a source of pride for me. So, I think the gentleman from PwC indicated how big an organisation he was part of. Well, the NHS only has 1.3 million staff, so it's not too bad. We're only Europe's largest employer, and we're only the fifth largest employer in the world, although that does kind of fluctuate depending on how many people Korea stick in their army. Typically, we might see around about 1 million patients a day. My individual hospital will see 500,000 patients in a year, and sort of today's money, we're spending around 76 billion, give or take 1 or 2 billion pounds, on hospitals and community health services. That's not all the money we spend, because obviously you've got to add on things like depreciation on capital assets, so that's just the revenue that goes to the front line. The grand scheme of things is that the amount of money that's going into the health service is going to increase, and typically we can say that the NHS has grown massively in the past decade. I mean, if you ever are sad enough to sit and watch Prime Minister's Question Time, you'll notice that pretty much every single time the Tories will bring up the health service, then Tony Blair will turn around and say, well, we've added 300,000 people to the NHS since we came into power. It's very political, and you sort of see some of the numbers that are up here. 85,000 more nurses, 10,000 more consultants, and remember those consultants come with their junior doctors, so that's not all the extra medical staff. Extra $16,000 health professionals. People often think the NHS is made up of doctors and nurses, and that's about it. Doctors and nurses are probably just under half of what makes up the NHS workforce. We've got everybody in those 1.3 million from the porters right up to the consultants and people right at the very top of their profession. But at the same time, we cannot function without somebody to push the beds around. every single person within the NHS is important to anybody else. So education spending. You may or may not have heard that the health service will increase spending until 2007-08, and then it sort of plateaued. Not quite sure how it's going to pan out. So you can sort of see that £76 billion roughly in that 2006-07 year. And you can see how it's increased since 2002 through. Since about year 2000, we've gone from about £44 billion and we've about doubled it. So that's quite a major investment. Now you can imagine that the change processes that go with that and trying to manage that transition from being a £44 billion organisation to being double that and increasing from 1 million to 1.3 million people in just what has been around 6-7 years. It's actually quite a big achievement. So when people ask why the public sector is different from other sectors, my answer is it's not really that different. It's exactly the same as the private sector. It's just we're taking just certain bits of it. So we're doing your typical management accounts from industry, and we're just leaving things like your investment banking. I have actually studied SEMA and got my name printed in the FT, which I'm quite proud of, over the summer. So I've now finished that off. I have studied that through the same sort of providers as my colleagues have. I've done everything that you would expect to do in the private sector, and I'm sort of applying private sector standards in the public sector. The actual accounting, the actual finance that we apply in the public sector is no real difference to what happens in the private sector. That's often a big misconception, that because we're in the public sector, we obviously work on completely different rules. But that's not always the case. The one big difference, and it's really drilled home when I've done my sort of education, is when you talk about private companies, we're talking about maximising shareholder wealth. That's quite a key phrase that I kept having drop in on my education. And I was always told that when you're talking about maximising shareholder wealth, you're not instantly talking about maximising dividends, we're talking about longevity as well. So we're actually talking about satisfying stakeholder needs. I don't know if any of my colleagues have come across that same sort of phrase when they've been doing their training. Sort of get drilled into you. So when you start thinking about that, satisfying our stakeholder needs, all you have to realise is that we've got different stakeholders to a private company. We're not satisfying stakeholders, we're satisfying the government, the media, our patients. And in many ways, that's a lot more complex and a lot more difficult, because the media and the patients and the government all have very, very different conflicting priorities. And I wouldn't like to argue over whether Tony Blair or some of the media moguls are actually more powerful, because arguably, when it comes to the NHS, some of the media has quite a big influence. Obviously, when you get that sort of environment, you're sort of trying to be proactive and you're completely reactive as well. So we have to react to things that happen in the media quite quickly. So when there are complaints, when there are major issues. My trust is actually the trust that's been involved in the sort of, not scandal, but the issues with the military patients coming back from Iraq. We host the Royal Centre for Defence Medicine, so we receive all the injured soldiers that are coming back through Birmingham Airport, distributed to us. And there's obviously this big sort of hoo-ha over putting military patients on sort of normal trauma and medical wards within the NHS. Well, what's the problem with that? We offer world-class care with world-class performance. And then obviously you've got the government and the opposition parties, so they're often quite contentious when it comes to the NHS. Conservative Party were quoted recently saying the NHS matters too much to be used as political football. So at every single opportunity, they have raised the NHS since. There's also quite a lot of negative news stories that go on in the NHS at the moment, and these obviously impact on your job. So a lot of the things that I do are working with the staff that are in my areas. So I'm spending one-on-one time with a lot of them, talking through their finance position, making them understand the financial context in which they're working, and trying to offer some kind of reassurance about what's going on. Often we're the interface between sort of very senior management and the decision makers at the very top board level of the trust and the people on the ground who are actually running the service. We often get a lot of the corporate initiatives and a lot of the news and sort of convey that onto our budget holders. The vast majority of the emphasis of my job is not on making profits, as in the private sector. My emphasis is on value for money. So all your theory comes out about economy, efficiency and effectiveness, and we start looking at all our decisions in terms of value for money. Overall, I actually have to say I really enjoy my job. Being able to say that I actually make a difference to people's lives and be able to change services on the front line to benefit patients is actually quite a big plus point. And you do get that kind of smug satisfaction at the end of the day. Why would you choose the NHS and public sector? Well, I certainly would advise you to do what I did and just reply to an email because you've already done it to your parents. A lot of work has gone on in the NHS and public sector recently to improve its sort of attractiveness to people like yourselves. Major review terms and conditions, bring them up to date. So we're talking about fair and competitive pay, people getting paid what they deserve. we don't want to be too generous. At the end of the day, it's, well, maybe not yours, but certainly your parents, families, friends that are paying taxes, they're expecting to get value for money. So when we're talking about fair and competitive pay, graduate schemes normally start from around about 20,000, rise by a few thousand over the first few years. For a qualified accountant, you're looking at minimum probably 27 if you're in a job that demands to be qualified. Benefits, well, obviously everybody's probably aware of the pension scheme and how much we're getting because we've still got a final salary pension scheme. Terms and conditions generally include things like starting from 27 days annual leave a year, going to 33 after 10 years service. Flexible working, if you've got kids you get extra flexible working rights. The training development you get from a graduate scheme is within the NHS. Currently talk about general public sector, but within the NHS, the training development you get is pretty much excellent. I mean, you're going to get all your study paid for, your study days, really general study package. Then we're talking about structured management development courses. So you go and you'll be taught by professionals from the private sector who are experts at delivering education to managing people. Career prospects. You're not guaranteed a job when you join the NHS, you have to prove yourself. So you'll spend, the contract I started on was 40 months, so just over 3 years. You're not guaranteed a job, so you have to prove yourself, but if you're good, you'll get a job. It's as simple as that. Overall, I think my career prospects are pretty good at the moment. My personal situation is that I went through the graduate schemes. I was on the graduate scheme for 22 months before I was offered a permanent job, so I left just over halfway through. Secured that, I'm now in my current role, and I'm learning pretty well. My career prospects for the future, looking to move in the next couple of years, and I'm hoping that I'll be a director of finance within a hospital or primary care trust or the healthcare organisation by the time I'm about 35 to 40. Sorry to directors of finance around 1,900,000, maybe a bit more through a large organisation. Obviously, it depends on you being good. The biggest reason why I think you should choose, or at least consider, to work in the public sector and the NHS is around the challenge that it represents. As I've mentioned before, the NHS has undergone a massive, massive review and massive, massive change process. And part of managing that change and developing the NHS for the future is expanding our leadership capacity. And that, in particular, at the moment, means financial management and financial leadership. You've all probably seen the reports in the media around the financial deficit. What we now need to do in the NHS, quite confidently believe, is to increase our financial management capacity and deliver first-class financial management to change our services. More information. All the information should be on that website, bringing leadership to life. And that's about it. In the grand scheme of things, the NHS finance-wise enough for everything, but we don't do technical things like investment banking, but we do everything from audit, treasury management, raising finance. With the Advent Foundation Trust, we have to do corporate tax, trading accounts, VAT returns, pretty much your whole world standard for your business, basically. So, any more information, let me know. Such a website. Thank you.